I want to let our musicians be seated. I want to say thank you and God bless you. Sure appreciate everyone being at your posted duty and your sacrifice. I know there's many probably tired body working all day today, being in school today, or just doing the daily activity. You know, it's a grind. Life's a struggle. You know, it's something you got to fight for, but it's worth fighting. Amen. Yeah. You know, character is a victory, and you don't get character just by things going easy, and that's what makes the bride who we are. You know, it's through the trials that we go through. Amen. Let's go to Jude chapter 1, verses 3 this evening, and just one scripture in the opening text. And I want to speak to you on a thought tonight on united by transformation. United by transformation. And Jude 1, verses 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, you know the things that I have in my heart, Lord, that's on this paper, Lord. I just ask you that you would help me to be able to say it fluidly, Lord, in a way that they can understand it, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be somebody up here just making a bunch of noise or, Lord, taking up anyone's time. But Lord, my desire is that I could just be a yielded vessel for you, that you could use my lips of clay, Lord, that you could speak to your children's hearts, Lord. That it would be a direct message to each one on their individual level, Lord, that each person after this service could say that it was good to be in the presence of the Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to read a quote to you, if that's okay. It says, "Now, but there's one thing that I have found. The people with a living faith, where they have absolutely caught a hold of something, God out there that gives them a new birth, that puts God in the person, that makes him believe in the supernatural. Now, if you're not born again, you do not believe in the supernatural. And if you do not believe in the supernatural, you haven't been born again. Because when you're born again, you become a son of God. And being a son of God, you're a nature of God. And then you take on things and you want to see God. And then you take on the things and you want to see the moving of God and see God move because you're his son and you're made in his image and you're born of his spirit. You're a part of him. Then you've got faith for anything." Amen. And that's from "Earnestly Contend for the Faith Once Delivered to the Saints." We need a living faith. And not just to have a faith, but we need to receive the faith. You know, it's not just because I have faith, well, I should be good because I have a faith. I have faith in something, but it's literally receiving the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, amen. So Brother Brim says, he says, "The faith that was once delivered to the saints, not just a faith." People says, "Well, that's against my faith." There's one faith. One faith, one God, one baptism, one faith, one doctrine. And now people will say, "Well, I haven't a faith and I go to my own church." Well, that's not what Jude is speaking of here. He's talking to people to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Man must humble himself and he must come God's way. And from the beginning, man's always trying to do it his way, starting with Cain. He tried to present the sacrifice before the Lord. And the Lord told him, "You don't do this, do as your brother or sin life at the door." I'm sure we're all familiar with what we're talking about. The Antichrist spirit, it's a very deceiving spirit. Right. And so we must remember that the Antichrist spirit is not something that's going to be like, "Wow, that's the Antichrist spirit, that's easy to see." It's going to be very, very deceiving, okay? And the Word of God was given to be our stabilizer. And the Word of God is our absolute. Can you say amen? When a ship is all being tossed on the seas, the winds are coming at it, it needs something that it can anchor it to. And what it does, it stabilizes the ship. And that's why the message has been given. It's to stabilize the church. That's any time God sent a message, it was to stabilize the church and help them to see the promises and help them to see the escape. Because there's so many times when you're caught in the emotion of something, your adrenaline's rushing, that you know normally what you can do, but because you're moving around and your mind is moving around, you can't think about what you really need to think about. So that's what the Word does, is it stabilizes you. You know, sometimes there's people in your life, they can stabilize you. Like, you're nervous, you're upset,
If you're in the military and you're in war and you're going and the guns are firing, you're hearing the, you see the smoke, you see the lights flashing, you see everything, and though you've been through training and you know what to do in those circumstances, there can come a time because you're jolted in your mind that you can't think clearly about what you need to do. But you've got people in your life that are commissioned to jolt you, so to speak, and say, hey, remember who you are. Remember the mission. Remember what we're doing. Remember your training. Remember what we're here for. And I think it's so important that many times we remember what we're fighting for. And we're talking about tonight about uniting by the power of transformation. You know, God is calling for a uniting, but it's God's way. God has a way that he wants to unite with man. Man, under good intention, down the ages, has always tried to unite with God his way. And when he showed an example or spoke of an example about how that Cain tried to make a uniting time with God, and God said, I will not meet you here, but do as your brother Abel, and then, or sin lieth at the door. So man has always tried to do it his way. So a message has always been given to stabilize the church. In the days of Abraham, there was winds of unbelief. God gave Abraham a message to stabilize him, to show him the way. You say amen. Without God sending a word to Abraham, he would have continued serving false gods, continue walking the life he did. But God sent him a word. And the word not only pointed in the right direction, but it was the word that stabilized him. It's the word that gave him the faith to stay forward, marching in the right direction. And even though at times Abraham would go astray, start to go off and lie and disobey, even though he would do that, how would God bring him back? With the word. Amen. It's the word that will always stabilize you. In the days of Noah, when the winds of judgment were coming, God sent a word, and the word is what stabilized. It was in the ark. The ark wasn't something that was just tossing and flopping around. It was something that God orchestrated, and because it was something God orchestrated, it stabilized the believer.
Right.
It's the same thing today. God sent us a word. What's the word been given to us? To stabilize us, that we can know who we are, we can see where we're going, and we can see the promises of God. If I was to take the Bible and start moving it up like that, you couldn't read the pages. But if I can stabilize it and bring it before you, you can see it. And in a natural way, that's kind of the way I'm talking about. God stabilizes our faith. Enoch had a message that stabilized him. It was a word that stabilized him, and it allowed him to fellowship with God. He was able to unite with God because he came God the way that God provided. Amen.
Amen.
Just another quick example, a woman that was living in ill fame while Jesus was with Simon. And remember, Simon said, Jesus, come to our house. We want you to come, and Jesus will come where he's welcome. Simon just put him in a corner somewhere, never washed his feet, never gave him the attention that he needed. He said, come into the house, and you can be here, but don't you be touching anything in my life. But here was a little woman, an ill-famed woman, walking down the road. Her life was a mess. Her life was a wreck. Everything was in shambles. But something inside her, when she saw Jesus sitting in a corner by himself, there was something inside her that responded to that word. And when she responded to that word, brother and sister, Jesus brought a stability into her life. And that is the mission of our life today, is to represent Christ properly, that they can receive a stability.
Amen.
Through the life that we live.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that wonderful? The life that we live, we are preaching the gospel of mercy.
Amen.
Amen. It's the word that stabilizes you. Let's go to St. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 28. And I've got a long way to go, so I'm going to try to move pretty quickly and try not to rabbit trail too much if I can. Unless the Lord wants me to, then I'll rabbit trail. Matthew 24, verses 23 through 28. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning come out of the east, shineth even the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For so wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And we're going to go to another scripture in St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man that has built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it come to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I printed these in huge, huge print. And Brother Tony, remember I told you it wouldn't be so many pages? It looks like more than it is. Talk about these scriptures, how that false Christs and false prophets are going to come, and they're going to come against you. And he's talking about whenever we hear the word and we build ourselves up on that rock. He said, when the winds come and the rain comes and the storms come, he said, we will not be moved because we are founded upon the rock. And these people were casting out devils. They were doing great, miraculous things. And listen to what I'm trying to say here. They were trying to unite with God under their miracles in their life. We are not to do that. We are not to do that. We are not to base our experience on, well, I must be okay because there are miracles happening in my life. Look at this took place. I can show you. And I've had preachers tell me that, Daniel, that's not the truth, but I've met them. I've met people that had cancer, went to different preachers, prayed for them, never could be healed, go to a woman and behind a pulpit preaching a sermon, and the woman prayed for the person, and they leave healed. It's not because, and they would say, well, God must be vindicating this woman being right because I received healing, and they're absolutely sincerity. This was realistic. They had cancer. They were dying. A woman prayed for them, and they were healed. It's not because God was vindicating the woman. It's because God was vindicating his word that by his stripes you were healed.
Right? Amen.
And it's because whenever you have faith in that, God will honor that. And these men, in the same sense, we're saying, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I've done great works in your name. Look at these things, Lord. Look at me. He said, I never knew you. That was one of the greatest mysteries to me when I come to this message, when the Lord opened my eyes to it, to see, because I never understood that. How? Because I've seen it in my life. I've seen how people can do things, great things, with speaking in tongues and doing wonderful things, and see the life that they lived, and it was completely contrary to the word. Oh, my. And I don't know if y'all caught that over the service, but Brother Tony was hammering over the weekend. He was trying to say, if our life is projecting a different gospel, there's something wrong with that image.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And I want to say this, that as in Psalms 27, who is it that puts us up on the rock? It's not that you climb on top of a rock and say, okay, I'm on a rock. It is God that places you upon the rock. And the way God will do that is when you behold his beauty. You love the Lord. You're seeking God. And when you do that, God's the one that places you upon the rock. Listen to me. It's God that gives you the revelation.
Amen.
And I want to tell you this. The winds will come. The waters will come. Winds of what? Winds of doctrine. Satan, the Antichrist, is going to come at you to try to get you to take false doctrine. He'll try so hard. Have you ever noticed in the book of Revelation? We don't have time to go into this too much right now, but in the book of Revelation, if you realize, he said, in one thing I have against you, because you smoke and you drink alcohol. He never said that.
That's right.
You, brother and sister, it is a religious spirit. That devil is a religious devil, and that is how he will try to come against the bride of Christ, is through religious, because it will look right. It will look righteous. But when it's not all the word and it's twisted on the word, brother and sister, it is Antichrist. Amen. So it is God that does the placing us upon the rock. And it's not us just taking on a form of godliness, but it is a transformation by the Holy Ghost. It's when the Holy Ghost will actually come inside the man and he will burn out your old nature of who he once was. And God can bring you to another level to where God can commune with you. And you start, and how many knows when you start walking with the Lord, there are stages of your walk with him when you can hear him talk. When Abraham started walking with God, it was stages of levels of how much he could hear God's voice, recognize God's voice. It was stages. And the more that Abraham walked under that voice, the more he understood it. And that's exactly as we are. The more we walk under the voice of God, the more we understand him. And that's why I try so hard to project. And any sermon that you're listening to, try to catch what the message is of what God is trying to say to you. Because man, he can just try to put his shells together and try to put stuff together. Catch the message of what he's trying to say. And in your life, individual life, catch what I'm saying. In the individual life, God has a message for you. And you are responsible for that message that God is preaching to you on a daily basis.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes God may use a guy behind a pulpit. But most of the sermons that you will hear is your daily walk when God is speaking to you.
Right.
Amen. I believe that with all my heart. The only way for God to really commune with man is for man is for God to put his life inside the man. You can have a level of communion with a dog or with a horse. You know, you can become good friends, one of the best friends, but you know what? He will always go back to his nature of being a dog or a horse.
That's right.
Because, and in man's the same way with God. God trying to talk to man, he can come to you on levels. He can have a level of communion with you, but you will always go back to your own nature, just like the horse, just like the dog. You will always go back to that same old thing, and eventually you'll get it back. You know, if your horse gets out and goes back with another horse or does whatever horses do, you can get him back and become friends with him again, but guess what? He'll go again because his nature is a horse. And what the message I'm trying to show you is we as man, God can speak to you on an individual level, but you will find yourself being drawn away every time, drawn away, every time, drawn away. And the reason is you're going back to your old nature. But see, when God will change your nature on the inside of you, the only thing you can go back to is God.
Amen.
Because that's who you are. See, because you're not just serving him, but you've reached another level of fellowship with God because you've got beyond the capacity of walking by obedience with your mind. There's a spirit on the inside of you. And you do things because that's who you are. Amen?
Amen.
I don't mean to shout, but it makes me happy. By golly. That's what makes you who you are. And God, he wants to lead you to a greater, higher walk with him. A greater level of communion with him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. He says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So it's the Spirit that God puts inside you, that's what leads you into truth. Do you say amen?
Amen.
You know, in order for you to, just like that horse, you can talk to a horse to a level, but you know, in order for me to really talk to that horse, I'd have to have the spirit of a horse. But when I really get a spirit of a horse, I can really commune with that horse on a different level because I would automatically act like a horse. And even I would do certain things because I'm a horse. Well, the same way with God, when you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that Spirit will lead you into the Word because it's the Spirit inside you that will be searching for the truth.
Amen.
It's not you in your mind. It's the Spirit inside you. This is just a body that we're carrying the Spirit around in. It's the Spirit inside you that searches for the truth. You say amen.
Amen.
So revelation is given to us by God's Spirit that he puts in us. And when God's Spirit is in the man, the Spirit will search all things of his truth. And the Spirit of God inside of a man, it will search for supernatural. Listen to me. The Spirit of God believes in the supernatural of God. You say amen. His own spirit believes in it. Now, your spirit may not believe it. Your spirit can disbelieve, but his spirit believes it. His spirit is the one that does it. His spirit inside you, when it is inside you, it's the same spirit that's doing the work.
Amen?
Did you not talk? talking two different spirits. We're uniting under the transformation of the Holy Ghost. Whenever you are being transformed, it is His life inside you doing the works. Amen. Amen. A spirit and an eagle will naturally compel that eagle to fly higher. He don't have to think to himself, I need to fly higher because I'm an eagle. I need to fly higher. I'm an eagle. He don't have to do that. The spirit inside of him is an eagle. Yeah. And because the spirit is inside of him, it automatically does what eagles do. It soars higher. Amen? And the spirit inside the believer is what compels him to believe the word. Brother and sister, how many times in our life where we had every reason to doubt? Every reason. Whenever my wife and I, we had a miscarriage, we were losing the baby, I had every reason in the world to disbelieve and walk away. Every reason. But there was a seed on the inside of me that could not disbelieve. That was Him.
Amen.
Amen. Here's another quote. He says, now, we'll notice what kind of faith that they had. They had a faith in a resurrected living Christ, someone who had rose from the dead and was living among them, just the same as He was before He ever died. Now we see they wasn't contending for some historical affair, but they were contending for a living Christ, a resurrected one, one who was in their midst. It's so important that we see they believed in His presence. Brother and sister, that's one of the greatest things that we have to be reminded sometimes in our flesh. His presence is still here. Sometimes you can get ready to go behind a pulpit when you're going to a church service, and you may say, oh my gosh, there's nothing moving here at all. His presence is here.
Amen.
Sometimes you may be sick and you don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this day. His presence is here. I don't know how in the world I'm going to pay these bills. I have no idea how I'm going to pay them. How am I going to do this? His presence is here. You have to say, you know what? God, You are here, not because I see You, not because I feel You, because I believe You. Brother Branham talked about the man that was, by the name of Brother Ryan, that was his name, that was blind. Prayed for him, and the man was absolutely blind. He said, praise God, you're healed. The man said, go and testify. The guy went on, and he couldn't see. He came back from prayer, and he said, Brother Branham, you said that I was healed. He said, you told me you believe me. He said, well, I do. Well, go testify. The man went out and testified. He didn't feel a thing. He didn't see a thing, literally. Testifying, praise God, God healed me. Praise God, God healed me. Listen to me, he had every reason in the world to disbelieve. But what did he do? He defied what his body said and said, the promise says I'm healed.
Right.
He said, I'm healed. He spoke the word. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. He was at a barbershop one time and had the cape on him, and someone said, hey, watch this. Hey, I heard you're healed down there. He says, praise God, I'm healed. And God opened his eyes immediately. Do you know how long it took him to do that, brother and sister? It looked whenever it had every reason to disbelieve. Whenever you were in that time of that crunch, when you had every reason to disbelieve, keep believing.
Amen.
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 That's when you testify. You speak your word. You speak the word and say, I believe it. God is going to do this. God is going to meet my mountain. God is going to pay this debt. God is going to heal my body. Praise God, God did it, because you're speaking against it, and God is working on your profession when you do that.
Amen.
And listen to me, when you're doing that, God is uniting with you under your confession.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that. Whenever you're confessing that God has met my need, God has provided my need, God has saved my children, God is honoring my token, God is doing that, God is honoring you, He will honor your token. Amen, your confession. I believe it.
Yeah.
The Antichrist will always try to copycat the original. And if the Antichrist ever comes out openly to say, you know what, I'm going to take you to hell. You know, how much of a revelation would it take to not follow that?
Right.
You know, in the same way with the serpent, when the serpent went to beguile Eve, the serpent did not come to Eve and say, hey, I'm going to steal you away from Adam. I want to show you a better life. I'm going to show you that you don't have to live a fuddy-duddy life. He never comes that way, because you would have identified that. He was a slick devil. Listen to me, it is the same spirit that seduced Eve, that tried against that, and he's the same spirit that will try to seduce this church today.
Right.
He'll come the same way, brother and sister. Listen to what I'm saying. I remember when I was in school, they'd say no to drugs. Just say no. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They'd say Red Ribbon Week. Here's your Red Ribbon Week. When they come to you, just say no. You know, you can see that, and you'll have in your mind, whenever they try to present drugs to me, I'm going to say, just say no. But you know what? All those kids that had that, when that opportunity opportunity for drugs come, they did not realize it. It was so slick, it was so sly, it came so unexpectedly, and they stepped into it and tried it one time, and they were hooked for drugs. See, they had their mind, whenever that drug dealer comes to me, this is how he's going to come. And when he comes, I'm going to just say no. Same thing when we're talking about the Antichrist spirit that's going to come against you. You can have in your mind, when he comes, I'm just going to say no. But he will try to come so subtle, so religious, that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. We're talking about a religious devil, brother and sister. Now, thank you, thankful that we can't be deceived inside of our hearts. But you know what? It didn't say you won't have some scars and try to bog down your victory in your life. It's so important that we are rooted our experience upon this word and none other. We're not basing our experience on our walk with the Lord over some experience that I had. We're basing on this revelation of this word. I know who God is. I know who I am. Amen. Does that make you happy? If you were to come to my daughter and say, Daniel Black's not really your daddy. We had a plumber come that I introduced him to today. And he said, boy, you can't deny her. Like, nope. She looks just like me. He said, yeah. She knows who I am because she sees her identification inside me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's what we're doing in this word. Service and service again. We are seeing our identification in this word over and over and over and over and over again. Brother and sister, this is our looking glass. Amen. And you don't even realize, I'm looking at my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
But a lot of times you think, how will I ever see my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You're seeing it over and over and over again. Whenever the word is preached to you, and you say, yeah, I know that. I believe that. That's me. You are seeing your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. It's not going to say Shirley Winters or Daniel Black or Victoria Black or Anthony Roberts. It's not going to say that, but it's going to show a characteristic of who he is. And it's whenever you are uniting your life with that. Mm-hmm. You're walking, the spirit inside you is leading you to that identification that the message being preached, you're walking in, God is uniting with you.
Amen.
Amen. And it's under the word. Not under miracles. Miracles will follow. I believe in miracles. I think you know me well enough. I believe in miracles. I believe in praying for the sick. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in all that. I believe it. But you can do that and still not be united with God.
That's right.
But you can have the real thing in your heart that's transforming your life, where you are becoming this word more and more and more and more. That's the power. Amen. Amen. So the Antichrist, he will take on a form of godliness. Now let's I'm going to go a little further. He says, now, yet a little while, he said, the world seeth me no more, yet you shall see me, the church, the believer, for I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Now, that's what the apostles believed, and they believed that what his talking is sometimes hard to follow. Let me read this again. Now, that's what the apostles believed, and they believed what he was in the flesh. He was also and more in the spirit. And that's what they taught. That's what they believed. That's what they practice, and that's what God confirmed. I want you to catch this, the thought. Feel the Lord show me on that, what he was saying here. This message that they had, that was given to them, he said, that's what they taught, that's what they believed, that's what they practiced, and that's what God confirmed. If we confirm and we testify and we believe and we practice that my God is Hebrews 13 and 8, God will confirm, I am, Hebrews 13 and 8. He will act in the way that we profess him, in the way we believe him. God will unite him in that, brother and sister. That's why it's so important. I love with the message where Brother Brown talked about, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it for somebody else, he can do it for me. And there's so many times you can be going through a trial and you're trying to do it yourself, but it's an opportunity for God to move that mountain for you. Amen? But we can do it ourselves. And God will never confirm because you're not believing for the miracle. Or you can say, God, your word says, I believe it. And God will confirm and God will move mountains. Do you think of that? People will endure hardships in their life when they don't have to. Because it's an opportunity for God to move the mountain for you. But rather than having faith and having God move the mountain, you're walking over the mountain. And God will let you walk over the mountain.
God will let you struggle.
Right.
God will let you struggle. Because you know what? He wants you to depend on Him. Think of His way. Amen. This is what Brother Bram said. He says, in order to preach the gospel, before you can make it a gospel preached, then you've got to have the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit to prove the gospel. The letter killeth, but the Spirit makes alive. So it's not just a ritualistic affair, but it's absolutely a real thing, a living reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ living among men. And that's the faith that I'm trying my best to contend for today. That's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, His power unlimited. Again, that's from earnestly contend for the faith. In the beginning, Adam had a fellowship with God, and it was unhindered. Can you say amen? He could speak to Him in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. Adam could come down, speak to God. It was absolutely perfect. And see, Adam was in a position that God placed him in. And because Adam, catch what I'm saying, when Adam was in the position that God placed him in, it was an unhindered fellowship. And that's exactly the way it will be today. And our unhindered fellowship is whenever we will walk in the position that God is placing us. God is placing us in the Word through one service at a time, one day at a time. God's speaking to us. God is positionally placing you. But whenever, as He's positionally placing you, the more you can walk in the position He's called you in, the more effectively God can commune with you on a daily basis. You know, I used to read a story years ago when I was a kid about the prince and the pauper. You know, if the prince was to walk like the pauper, he couldn't expect everyone to do what he needed to do because he was walking in the capacity of a pauper. But you know, if he walked in the capacity of a prince, people would do what he needed to do because of the capacity that he was walking in. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is if you walk in the capacity as of a defeated believer,
right,
you will have the fruits of a defeated believer.
Right.
Because that's the apparel that you're wearing. You've got to put on the right of apparel and realize I am a child of the King. I am the bride of Christ. I know my shepherd. I know who I serve. My God is a living God. My God's the God that delivered the children of Israel. My God's the God that parted the waters. My God is the God that slew Goliath through David. My God is the God that slew all the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. That's the God that I serve. And you're walking with that apparel of knowing, this is who I am. I am a believer.
Amen.
That's the most powerful thing you can do to believe. I am a believer.
Amen.
Not a Baptist, not a message believer, not another this. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Because you know, it's just as you can fall under the same banner of a denomination where they say, well, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecost. You can do the same thing, so I'm a message believer. And you're doing the same thing.
Right.
Because if you don't have the transformation on the inside, I mean, you're just a denomination like everybody else. You're just a lodge like everybody else. We need the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. When you have His Holy Ghost on the inside of you, that's the purpose of the mission. Is to get us to have His Spirit inside of us where we can fellowship with God unhindered.
Amen.
Amen. I pray this is making sense to you.
Amen.
God is positionally placing us. Amen. It takes God to positionally place a man, and when the prophet was on the earth demonstrating the power of God, ministers would come to him all the time and say, Brother Branham, you need to light up off the preaching of the women. You're okay. We love your gifts. We love seeing how God does that because they wanted the miracles. He said, but stop preaching against the women. Stop doing this. Stop preaching against that. And one of the men at one particular time said, Brother Ben, I want to pray for you that God will show you. And he said, that's fine with me, brother, please, because I want to be right. He said, if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for you. Afterwards, they wanted the miracles, but they didn't want the correction. And listen to me, that does not change. It's the same thing today that people want to be uncut stones. I will be here, but don't go cutting me.
Right.
Don't be cutting my life. Don't be telling me where I have to correct. Don't tell me where I have to line up. Because you know what? We live in a nature. Your first nature of your man does not like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
It's right. And you know, and that nature will fight. Whenever it's a lot of times, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it can really help you in this life. When it comes to being a believer, it's one of your worst enemies. Because it's yourself. Amen. Because you don't want correction. If the church has healings and miracles, but the lives of the people speaks of a different gospel, it's a false image.
Right.
And one of the greatest mysteries for me, this is for Brother Daniel, one of the greatest mysteries to me was to see, as I said earlier, how ministries can do things and have powers but be completely away from the word. Amen.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And let's just try to do this quickly. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are carnal, for whereas this is among you even envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Think of it. This is the church. He's not talking about unbelievers. These are people that have a gospel that's presenting to be the church. And he said, in the midst of you having all this, he said, among you there's envying, there's strife, there's divisions. Brother and sister, under the real gospel of Jesus Christ, there should be unity.
Right.
Amen. For verse 4, it says, For one saith, I'm of Paul, the another, I'm Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid by Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Again, I want to say, Paul was not talking to the world at this, the unbelief. He's talking to the church, and he's saying there's divisions among you. He said, some of you say, I am of this minister, I'm of this minister, and they identify of under being under this that minister. Listen to me, there's some great ministries in this life, okay? Great ministries. But just because you're identified under this great ministry, that doesn't mean you're united with God. You can be under Ed Biscoe, sitting under Ed Biscoe, Brother Eddie, from the testimonies. You can be united with him. You can go fishing with him. You can have his belt buckle with him. You can go every Sunday dinner with him. That does not mean you are united with Christ. Listen, you can be the best preacher on this earth today. Be their buddy, know their sermons, know everything. Your father can be the preacher. Your father can be the pastor. That does not mean you're united with him. Your father can be the deacon. It does not mean you're united with him. Listen to me. It's individual walk, brother and sister, where individually we have been transformed in our hearts and we believe this word.
Amen.
We know we believe it because he is my shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And the scripture talks about how it will be tried with fire. This is what I feel the Lord is trying so hard to try to get across tonight. As I was saying, winds will come. Listen to me. What we believe will be tried. Satan will have the liberty to try you.
Right.
Now, God's not going to lose you because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, but there's a great loss that you could suffer. But listen to me, the winds will try you. That's why it's so important that we know I'm standing on the rock.
Amen.
I know where I'm standing. Because if you build yourself on sand, listen to me, that's whenever you hear the word and you don't apply it to your life, you're trying to do it your own way, you're trying to balance it out, say, well, I don't think this really matters about the word, it doesn't really matter this far. You know, these are the main things that we need to believe about the Bible. When you do that, you are building your house on sand. And the winds are coming. As I was writing this today, I kept feeling the Lord tell me this over and over, the winds are coming. Listen to me, when a storm is coming, brother and sister, a lot of times you'll get a warning before the storm ever gets there. Whenever they're coming, brother and sister, we don't want to have to be worrying when the winds come. Oh, I've got to make sure things are right. We need to do it right now. Make sure you are anchored in the word, and I know where I'm standing in this word. I am united with God because I am fellowshipping with God.
Amen.
You want to know if you got the Holy Ghost? Let me ask you something. How much are you fellowshipping with God? Because that Holy Ghost inside you will fellowship with God. He will believe the word. Amen.
Amen.
The greatest thing you have is whenever that thing, and what do you mean by Brother Daniel? Because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. It's whenever the spirit inside you, the life inside you, will search for more of the word because it will be hungry for the word.
Yeah.
You got the Holy Ghost. Don't raise your hand. But you know yourself. You should know in yourself, I've got the Holy Ghost.
I know where I'm standing. I know where I know in whom I'm believing. These people were identifying themselves with Paul. And I'm almost done. These people were identifying themselves with Paul, and this church was projecting an image. And a church will be tried. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, or resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. It's not the joining the church. It's not keeping the rules. And I'll show you in the sermons over and over where Brother Branham is doing that. And not that we have to have him say that. It's the truth of saying it's not joining Branham Tabernacle. It's not going to this church. I go to church. That doesn't mean it. That's not how you are. That is not how you get into the body of Christ. How do you get? I'm going to do it because Brother Brown said it. How do you get into the body of Christ?
Right.
How do you do it? By one what?
Spirit.
We are what? Baptized into what? One body. Brother and sister, it's by one spirit we've been baptized into the body. He said, I didn't join the Brandon family by doing it. He said, I was born into it. And listen to me, in the body of Christ, it's by one spirit, I have been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It's not joining the church. And I think this is the last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. It says, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And this last quote, he says, now, we're not playing church. This is church. Christ is the church. We're in Christ, the mystical body of Christ. We're born into it. You can't join it. I've been with the Brandon family for 55 years, and they never asked me to join the family. I was born in Brandon. That's the way you're a Christian. You're born a Christian, not joined into it. You're born in it. Everybody's afraid of the birth. They have some nice, clean way of taking a little hand or signing a little card or a salt shake with some water in it. That's not the birth. A birth is a hard thing. A birth is an awful thing. I don't care if it's in a pig pen or a barn stall or a pink decorated hospital room. A birth is a mess. It makes a mess out of you. You don't have to give up. You don't have to want this, that, or the other. But the tears will wash the paint off your face and make you a different person. If you're born again, it'll make a mess out of you. But you'll come forth a new creature. They don't want that. They want some easy way, you know. There is no easy way. As the song said, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. You don't want to be a hotbed plant. Brother and sister, a birth is a mess. And as Brother Branham said in this, that crazy big papers I've got. I tell you what happened. I printed it and I forgot I had large print. I hit print. I went to the bedroom and I come back and I had 25 sheets of paper print now. It's not that much. But, you know, by one spirit, just 5 more minutes, all I ask, okay? It's by one spirit, God will cause you to do this. And by one spirit, he'll cause you to die out to your old man on the inside of you. And Brother Brennan's telling you are not a hotbed plant. Listen to me, I'm going to say this. You are not a hotbed plant. You are not some cow-down weakling, beat-down somebody. You are a child of God.
Amen.
And Brother Brennan talked about how that devil will rise up in your face and he'll say, boo. And he'll say, boo, and you back down. And he'll keep saying, boo, and you'll get smaller again. Boo, you get smaller again. Boo, smaller again. You've got to stand up to that devil and say, boo back. I am a child of God. Boo
Amen.
Back. No matter what it is, whatever that boo could be financial stress, it could be depression, it could be oppression, I need healing in my body, in my arm. No matter what it is, when you say boo back, that devil must get smaller because you're standing on the word when you're doing that, brother and sister.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, and I want to say real quickly, that the time that I was healed in this service, brother and sister, I'm telling you, that was absolutely a supernatural, absolutely wonderful. I had a knot in my shoulder right here that was so big, you could feel it. It hurt even the shirt touching my shoulder. I got to where I could not raise my hand up. I was going to preach that morning, and I almost called Brother Tony and said, Brother Tony, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. And I said, you know what? Boom. I'm not doing it. God commissioned me to do this. If I'm commissioned to do it, God's all going to take care of me. And I was halfway through the service here and talked about that, and I said something about how God can heal my shoulder, and I said, Devin, It don't hurt anymore. During this service that I recognized when it happened, absolutely gone. There's sometimes still that ghost pains will try to come because I'll start to lean over and I'm expecting it to hurt. I was like, it don't hurt. Praise God. God heal it. Listen to me, that was God that did that in one of the many, many testimonies that God gave in my life. You know why God did that for me? So I can testify about it and I can tell people this is what God does.
Amen.
What I'm trying to leave you with is the little things that God does in your life. The reason God does is there's a voice behind that sign. The reason God's doing that healing is so you can testify of a message. My God heals.
Amen.
My God provides. My God's a comforter.
Amen.
You create that atmosphere around you. Amen.
Amen.
So our musicians come forward. We're going to talk about how if somebody does it, it don't matter how good the miracle is. If his message is contrary to the word, it don't matter. The whole thing's false.
That's right.
Because it's the word. Amen?
Amen.
And when any time God's doing a healing in your life, it does a miracle in your life, use that as your weapon.
Amen.
You testify. Let's all stand. If you don't mind, let's just bow our heads. And I thank you for being patient with me. I know you're tired. Heavenly Father, we love you. And I'm sorry that I wearied your people tonight, Lord. I just pray that some seed would be sown into their heart, Lord, that maybe in the coming days that they can think about, the Lord, the things that you spoke to them tonight, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I want to see them united with you, Lord, in your word, Lord. And Lord, you have given us the provided way for fellowship, Father, that you can speak to us, even though we're in the darkest hour of Satan's Eden. In the midst of that, you have believers that you have ordained to believe this word. They are called for it. That is their mission to their life. They are ordained to be the bride of Christ today. Lord, I ask you that you would help them, Lord Jesus, to reach inside deep within themselves to contend for that faith, Lord, that you have given to us. In Jesus' name.
Enjoy that.
Amen.
I always sit back there and I write things down that are striking to me, and some of the good things that Brother Daniel said tonight. He was talking about, you know, when in Revelation he didn't say, well, you know, I have somewhat against you because you drink or you smoke or, right? But what he had there in the message to every one of those churches was he was trying to get them to stay away from false doctrine. And so, because the thing is, if you can believe the gospel, if you believe the right thing, it will bring you to a new birth.
That's right.
And then if you come to a new birth, the scripture says, all things are new. But then it's like Brother Daniel said, if you have the new birth, then what you revert back to, you always go back to that because that's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's God. You can't go anywhere else. You always go back to that. And so when old things are passed away, all things are new. And you see God everywhere. You hear him all over the place. You know, he speaks to you so many different ways. I know most of you know the story, but our brother here might not know it. Brother Random was telling about the little boy that wanted to see God. He went to his mom or said, I'd like to see God. Well, you know, if they came to you, a child came to you and said, I want to see God, what would you tell them? You know? And so the mother said, well, you need to talk to the Sunday school teacher. So the little boy went to the Sunday school teacher and said, I want to see God. How can I see God? She said, no, I don't know. You'll have to talk to the pastor about that. So he went to the pastor of the church and said, I want to see God. And I don't know what the pastor told him, but as the story goes on, an old man, I don't know what his relation was with the little boy, but the little boy went fishing with the old man one day, and they were sitting in a boat, and the little boy said to the old man, who was a Christian, he said, I'd like to see God. How can I see God? And the old man told the little boy, he said, because he'd been around for 75, 80 years or whatever, and he said, all I can see is God. And what Brother Bram said was this. He said he had so much of God on the inside, he could see him on the outside.
Amen.
Amen. All things are new.
Amen.
And brother, sister, you know it's new. You know something in you is different.
Amen.
You know? And so, Abraham name Abraham, his father of nations. He walked for 25 years with a name change, God, where God had said, you'll be Abraham. He walked for 25 years with no children. Yeah. You know, the name back then in their customs, the name spoke of what they were. So when he had a name, he'd go around and say, what's your name? My name's Abraham. Where's your children? Well, I don't have any. And you're 80 years old? Mm-hmm. You're 90 years old?
Yeah.
See? But for 25 years, I say that because sometimes, you know, we want things now. God said he's going to do it. He'll do his word as he said. But sometimes you have to, he tests you and try you. And so Abraham walked for 25 years. Amen. And I don't think we have to do that. But if God did choose to do that for any of us, then we walk for 25 years making that same confession and believing.
Amen.
Amen. And so what Brother Daniel said about the serpent, you know, the scripture said he was the most subtle of all the beasts. So of any animal out there that could approach Eve, this guy was less scary, less startling than any beast out there the serpent was. Because he wasn't a snake at that time. He was an upright being that could talk.
That's right.
So he didn't come in, hey, don't you know God said? No, he didn't do that.
No.
He was not offensive.
Right?
And that's the way he comes to you. Right? He's not going to come, as I've said so many times, he's not going to come and say, hey, I'm the devil. I'm here to ruin your day. He doesn't come like that.
Right.
Amen. And so we appreciate those things. You know, you've heard us talk before about how the shepherd would put honey on a rock. Mm-hmm. Brother Bill talked about it. The sheep would have a sickness. And what the shepherd needed the sheep to do is he needed the sheep to lick a particular rock that had minerals in it that would make him well. But the sheep would not lick the rock. So he'd pour honey on the rock. And that sheep would come over and lick the honey because that's what he wanted. And while he was licking the honey, he'd get the minerals and he'd get well.
That's right.
That's a wise shepherd. Right?
Yes.
The way Brother Brandon laid that out, he said, divine healing. Right? That's honey on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God will heal you to get your attention.
That's right.
Right? But what the sheep needed was not the honey.
Right.
What the sheep needed was the minerals.
Amen.
Right? And we all want healings for our natural body. God has that. Amen.
Yes.
But what you really need, mm-hmm. right? Amen. Is what God brings you to.
Amen.
When he has his supernatural presence among you and does those great things. So we're so happy for that. And I'll end by saying this, Brother Daniel, I was thinking, I think it was yesterday, last night, about uncut stones. How that we people don't, they want, here's what I was thinking. How would you have built that pyramid, which is a testimony, but that pyramid is a testimony, a natural image of the bride of Christ, right? How could you build that if they did not hew those stones?
Right.
You could never make it what it was. Every one of those stones had to be cut so precise.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you something. How's God going to put a church together that's going to be a testimony for him if they're not willing to be hewed and cut?
Yes.
Amen. Lord, hew me.
Yes.
Cut me. Whatever shape you want me to be, and when he's done, I'll fit with you and you and you, and you'll fit with me, and he'll,
right?
We'll all fit together perfectly, not even a razor blade fitting between us, you know? You understand? Because it's a work of God. Like Brother Daniel said, when God does something, that something stabilizes the believer. Amen. So we're so happy about these things that we're able to share tonight. Now let's see. Sing a little song here. Maybe key of C, maybe. Mm-hmm. 543. I want work.